And I invite you, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with us to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter 2. And at the end of November, the beginning of December, the Lord had laid on my heart the theme of the messages for the month, and I had a rough outline on where we were going to go. And then the second week of December, the Lord kind of took things as I was reading more in Scripture, preparing for the different thoughts and topics, and He just impressed upon my heart to go in a different direction with some of these messages. But the overall theme has been the same. And all the messages we've looked at, aside from one, have led up to this concluding message here tonight and the question we're going to ask. On December 3rd, that first Sunday, we looked at the thought of the gift of hope. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was born 2,000 years ago in the manger, when He was born, He brought with Him hope. And then that second week, we asked the question, have you seen His salvation? Have you seen His salvation? Yes, He brought hope, but what was the hope? The hope was the salvation of men, women, boys, and girls down through the ages with His death on the cross of Calvary. And we asked, have you seen that salvation? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven someday when you die? And then last week, we looked at the thought, just very simply from Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at the thought of the gift of God. And we saw that it is nothing that you and I do to merit salvation. It's nothing you and I do. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't work for our salvation. We can do all the good works we want, and we can still die in our sins and go to hell. It's the gift of God. All we have to do is reach out and accept it, reach out and take it. And then this morning, because we've talked to several folks who, you know, we all agree that it just hasn't felt very Christmassy. It just hasn't felt very in season, so to speak. And we looked this morning at John chapter 15 and the thought of the joy that Jesus brings, and how it is not only an abiding joy, but it's a full joy. And when you have Jesus, it doesn't matter the circumstances going on around you, you can still be joyous. You can still be happy. And then two Wednesday nights, we looked, number one, in Galatians at the fullness of time, that just at the precise moment, at the right point in history, the God the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born and to be born to die. And then last Wednesday night, we looked at the thought from Revelation, and we saw the Christmas account in the book of Revelation. And that all of those messages, all of those lessons bring us up to this question tonight. And it's a very simple question, is what will you do with the baby? What will you do with the baby? And tonight we want to see from Luke chapter 2, how we respond to the coming of Christ matters. How we respond to His birth matters. And you know, it's amazing what babies can do in a person's life. For those of you that have been parents, you can probably remember and attest to it tonight that you often don't sleep. You find yourself talking baby talk. You find yourself can't waiting to get home to hold them. Your schedules are never the same again. It truly is and seems that a baby changes everything. And if there was one baby that really changed everything, it was the Lord Jesus Christ when He was born in that manger so many years ago. And in this message tonight, we want to see just how people responded to Christ when He was born in Bethlehem. What do they do when God became a baby? Number one tonight, we see the people in the city had no room for him. The people in the city had no room for him. Notice there, Luke chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger." And notice what it says, "because there was no room for them in the inn." So we see here, and we all know the account, Joseph, he takes his family back to Bethlehem to be counted in this census, which, by the way, was just a scam to find the baby Jesus and kill the baby Jesus. But it was there Jesus was born, just as it was prophesied in the book of Micah and had been announced centuries before we ever get here to Luke chapter number 2. But there they get to Bethlehem, they get to the place, and of course we know they find no room, no guest room available for the birth. I mean, you think about even the most crude of public shelters that might have quote unquote called themselves an inn. You know the type I'm talking about. We have some of them around the country, you know, some places that call themselves a hotel, and they probably don't pass for a hotel just by looking at it from the outside. And then when you go inside, it's definitely not welcoming or appealing. You know, the type of places you sleep over the sheets and not under the sheets. It's just a place to, you know, lay your head for the night so you can get on the road the next morning. And even those places, they were full. Most likely because of the census. And so seemingly nobody provided room for this couple of Joseph and Mary. You think about it tonight. Even if someone had said, "Well, wait a minute. The Son of God is about to be born. The Son of God is about to be delivered. The Son of God is about to enter into the world." They surely would not have listened. Why? Because to their thought process, God could not or would not come this way. It was just too ordinary. It was just too unspectacular. It was too much like everybody else's birth. Forget for a moment that he's being born of a virgin who had never known a man, but it was too ordinary. It was too unspectacular, just like everybody else's birth. But you know, that's just why he came, isn't it? He became poor so that we might be rich. A nobody so we might be a somebody. Born so that we might be born again. But still, no one gave him room. You think about that tonight. Here's the Son of God, and nobody had any room for him. Nobody had any time for him. Nobody had any place for him. Now, the people in Bethlehem, they probably could have been excused because they likely did not understand all of the events and everything leading up to it. But here's the question. How often does Jesus find himself with no room in our lives? How often does he find no time in our lives? How often does he find no place in our lives? You know, tomorrow it's Christmas, and what has that become in our society today? It's become about food, it's become about family, and nothing wrong with those things. It's become about, the latest and greatest and the biggest and the best. And somewhere along the line, we've just kind of pushed Jesus to the side. We just kind of push Jesus to the wayside. What excuses tonight do we have when we give Christ a little room in our lives? And so the question tonight is, what will we do with the baby? And that's a question everybody has to answer. That's a question that every lost person has to answer. What are you going to do with this gift given 2,000 years ago? Is he going to have room in your life? Is he going to have place in your life? Is he going to have time in your life? Are you eventually going to accept him into your heart as your Savior and ask him to forgive you of your sins? What are you going to do with the baby? You know, tomorrow, there'll be family. There'll be food. There'll be football. Hopefully the Eagles, like I said this morning, hopefully they beat the Giants and get back in the, you know, the good graces of the Philadelphia fans who are calling for the coach's head now and calling for the quarterback's head now. You know, I've never seen a more fickle bunch of people. You lose three games and they want to fire everybody. I mean, they're in the playoffs. They're going to get there now. It would have been a whole lot easier had they got that first round bye and had they got that home field advantage. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. But, you know, we didn't have home field in 2017 when we won the Super Bowl. And, you know, I'm getting off on a tangent. Forgive me. But there'll be the football. And there's other games tomorrow. I know tomorrow night the Ravens play the Dolphins, I think, or somebody. And that's going to be a good game. 2-10-3 teams. No, it's the Ravens and the 49ers, I think. But two good teams. And so there's going to be football tomorrow. There's going to be food. There's going to be family. There'll be presents under the tree. There'll be all of these things that we associate with Christmas. But is there going to be any time given to the Lord? Is there going to be any time given to Jesus? Is there going to be any time to remember that the whole reason why we're here, and it's because of him? But so we see that the people in the city had no room for him. How about you tonight? Do you have room for him? I hope that you do. But then we see, secondly, the angels announced him. The angels announced him. Notice there, if you would, verses 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so we see here that in the still and calm of the night, we see shepherds in a nearby field heard an announcement from the angel. In the city of David was born the Savior who would save us from sin. Christ, whose name means the Anointed One. The Lord who rules over all. The baby was no ordinary baby. The baby was God come in the flesh. He was the Son of the Almighty God. And so you wonder, no wonder the multitudes joined in the singing, because it wasn't just no ordinary baby. You know, when a baby's born, that's a big event. We ooh and we ah. We pass the baby around. Everybody wants to hold the baby, kiss the baby, spoil the baby. But here, this baby was no ordinary baby. This baby was the Son of God. And as you see this evening, that's our responsibility. To announce that God offers peace to sinful, hurting people. You know, apart from having that kind of peace, we cannot possibly experience Christmas for all it's intended to be. We saw it this morning. You know, the circumstances of life sometimes dictates our peace or lack thereof. But when we realize and we have the peace that only the Lord can provide, you know what? The circumstances don't matter. Because, yes, they're still there. Yes, we're still in the nasty now. We're not in the sweet by and by just yet. But He's there with us each step of the way to help us and to lead us and to guide us. But it's our responsibility. The angels announced Him. We too have to announce Him. And then thirdly and finally tonight, we see the shepherds praised God in response to His coming. The shepherds praised God in response to His coming. Notice there verses 15 through 20. Verses 15 through 20, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so we see here, not only did the shepherds announce Him, but they determined to go to Bethlehem when they found the baby and His parents. Shepherds. And you think about who the shepherds were. They were often thought to be the low-class outcasts, the lowest of the low. But they were the ones to whom the good news came first. It didn't come to the high and mighty and the highfalutin and all the rest. No, it came to some lowly shepherds in a field tending their sheep. You see, tonight God loves, and it teaches us that God loves all people. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, God loves everybody. And we can only wonder tonight if these shepherds had also seen some of their own sheep taken for sacrifice over the years. You think about that. Year after year, every single year, sheep were sacrificed for the sins of the people. Yet perhaps now, the shepherds' guilt, it never went away because they were losing their sheep to these sacrifices. Maybe they knew just something else had to happen. And when they finally met the baby there in that manger, they glorified God for everything that had been seen and heard. As you go throughout all of Luke chapter 2, you find that there are several others that respond to the coming of Christ. We see there in verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She meditated on the things that had happened. Simeon, we looked at him a couple weeks ago. He found peace to die after Jesus came. Anna gave thanks for His coming. But the point is this. All of us have to make some kind of response to the baby. The question is, what will your response be today? You can ask yourself this question: how has the coming of Christ changed my life? Decide what maybe keeps you from giving Jesus room in your life, and begin to clear out some space. You know, sometimes, you know, our houses, they become what? They become cluttered, don't they? And we have to remove some things. We have to straighten up some things, clean some things. And I'm not just talking about shoving it all in a closet till the point you open the closet and everything tumbles down upon you. Or, you know, when we were a teenager, we shoved it under our bed and said, now our room's clean. No, it's not. You just hid all the junk. Well, sometimes in our life, there are things that slowly but surely they get into our life and they infiltrate our life and they invade our life. And the once where years ago I preached the message, which kind of vessel are you going to be? Are you going to be a vessel unto honor, or are you going to be a vessel unto dishonor? And once where you may have been that vessel unto honor, where you had that clear, that pure heart, that you got saved, you got born again, you were on fire for God, you wanted the things of God, but then somewhere along the way, things of life started creeping in. Hebrews, the Bible says, the sin which so easily besets us starts to creep in. And somewhere, the heart of our life starts to become cluttered. And instead of pushing those things away, we start to push away Jesus. And all of a sudden, we have no time for Him. We have no room for Him. We have no place for Him. Well, just like sometimes we need to do spring and fall and summer and some of us everyday cleaning. Sometimes in our life spiritually, we need to do some cleaning. And get those things that are in our life, and we need to get them out and push them out and put Jesus back where He rightfully belongs, on the throne of our heart. And so tonight, we've seen the meaning of Christmas. It's all about the baby in a manger. But He didn't stay in the manger. He would live. By the way, rabbit trail. Does anyone know what the problem is with a nativity set like we have outside?
It's backwards.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I never noticed that. But anybody else notice? The nativity set always pictures Jesus already born. Well, He wasn't yet born on that first Christmas. And someone explained it to me years ago, and it's always bugged me. But where was I going with this?
I have no idea. The timing is off.
The timing is off. That's right. That's right.
Well, the timing is off on the whole Christmas scenario.
Oh, yeah.
It's just an agreed time now.
Yeah, that we celebrate the birth. But
nobody actually knows when.
No. In fact, the case could probably be made because shepherds wouldn't be out in winter. It would be more springtime. Yeah, somewhere around there. And so, so some people say April. Right. Right. That's right. And but you know, as we think about what we will do with Jesus, we all have to answer that question. You're here tonight and you don't know for sure that you're saved, then your answer is clear on what you need to do with Jesus. You need to accept Him as your Savior. Trust Him to forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven someday. If you're a Christian, maybe, you know, you've gotten caught up in different things and Jesus doesn't have as prominent of a place as He used to. Well, you need to clear out that clutter spiritually and put Him back where He belongs. But yes, tomorrow we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But thankfully, He didn't stay in that manger. He would grow up, go on to live 33 and a half years. He would have 3 years of public earthly ministry. And then He would go to a cross to suffer, to bleed, to die. But He didn't stay on the cross. He was put in that grave. 3 days later, He'd rise again. So the grave, He's no longer there. According to the word of God, today, after the 40 days after the resurrection, He ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And He's waiting. He's coming again. And the next time He comes, it won't be as a babe in a manger. It won't be born in some lowly Bethlehem stall. He'll be coming in power and honor and glory. And so this Christmas season, what will you do with the baby? I hope tomorrow you'll take a little bit of time to remember the baby who who is our Savior. Let's pray.